You are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. When the wild calls, you answer. In Disney's remake of the classic novel, The Call of the Wild, we're introduced to Buck, a rambunctious dog whose life is turned upside down when he is suddenly uprooted from his home and transplanted to the Yukon. Forced to join a mail delivery dog sled team, Buck soon experiences the adventure of a lifetime and learns his true purpose and place in the world. This week on the show, we welcome Dave Voigt of InTheSeats.ca to talk about finding your home, the pack versus the individual, and what it means to answer the call. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Oh, I guess I should actually do something with this. Oh, hello. Are you joining me? My dog just decided to... I think she thought I was lost. She had to come back.
Oh.
She's appeared on this podcast many times.
Oh, fantastic.
Uncredited. Welcome to Screenfish Radio. We're glad you could join us this week as we talk about The Call of the Wild. And we are so excited this week to have Dave Voigt from In the Seats join us to talk about it. Welcome, Dave.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, I'm glad you could come on. This is going to be a lot of fun. And Call of the Wild is the latest vision of the classic novel, which tells the story of Buck, a big-hearted dog whose blissful domestic life gets turned upside down when he's suddenly uprooted from his California home and transplanted to the exotic wilds of the Alaskan Yukon in the 1890s. As the newest rookie on a mail delivery dog sled team, Buck experiences the adventures of a lifetime as he ultimately finds his true place in the world. As always, a reminder, this podcast is rated for S for spoilers. But, Dave, what did you think of Call of the Wild?
You know what? I enjoyed it. I mean, it's admittedly a little bit slight at times, but it's a nice sort of family-friendly, kind of big, fun adventure.
Yeah, I found the same sort of thing on this one. This may be the first time in decades that I felt like Harrison Ford was enjoying himself in a film.
That's distinctly possible, yeah.
It may be because the dog didn't really exist and that he was by himself, but...
Well, acting opposite a tennis ball does give its challenges.
But no, I think you're right. Like it was a really enjoyable family film. I don't want to say shockingly so, but I mean I enjoyed it so much more than I expected.
Well, it's not trying to be heavy. It's not trying to be anything more than what it is.
Now, did you see Togo? Did you see Disney Plus's Togo?
No, I haven't seen Togo yet.
I actually delayed watching it because I was like, okay, I'd like to see it, but whatever, it's on. And I really enjoyed it, but the tone is entirely different.
Okay.
Like it's much more, I mean, it's very much still about a man and his beloved dog, and there's a dog sled team. So the comparisons are immediate. Now I know why Togo got sent to Disney Plus, because they probably invested too much money in Harrison Ford to do two movies that are the same thing. But the tone on Togo is much more dire, if you will. Script is good. Like I actually really like Togo more than I thought, because human and dog movies are hit and miss with me because I usually always end the same way.
Right.
It is interesting because Togo is much more about the urgency, and this is more about sort of growth.
Oh, totally. No, you're absolutely right. It's just about the growth of not only just Buck as a character, but just the characters that surround him as well. Because, I mean, all of the sort of supporting players in the movie really do play an important part in his development going forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. Now, have you read the book? I haven't read the book.
I did, but it was like 100 years ago. So, I don't ask me to remember how close it is.
Well, maybe you can tell me this, though. Was the book telling the story from the dog's perspective in the same way? Do you remember that?
I don't think it was exactly the same, but it was – like if my memory is correct, It was kind of close, but I wouldn't feel comfortable commenting one way or the other, but it was definitely kind of in that slant.
Well, it's funny because I think the film's been remade before, and I don't remember it being this much about the dog. I remember it being sort of about the two of them together, and that's why I wondered. Like, I'm like, is the book like this? Like, is it really the Call of the Wild?
The book had balance for sure. This did not have balance. This was much more about the dog.
Right. What did you think of CGI Marley, if you will?
You know, I thought it was pretty good, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't to the point where it took us out of sort of the adventure. It was still very obviously CGI, but it never took us out of it to go, oh, what the hell is that? You know, it's like, oh, that's weird. Oh, and we sort of, which would sort of off put us from the entire story. We're still invested in the story, even though we know it's a fake dog.
I was worried at the beginning because when they first introduced him, I thought they kind of Scooby Dooed him.
A little bit, yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh no. But, and especially, like I said, again, after watching Togo, which used the real animals.
Yeah.
But I think they gave him just enough personality, you know, without it going full on like Garfield or that exactly. sort of thing. Exactly. It's funny, I was watching, I'm like, there's a villain dog. Did we need a villain dog?
He's got to have something to overcome.
I know, but you got to admit, that fight scene was pretty, there was a moment there and I thought, wait a second. Like, that dog has motive right now.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
It was, like, not just the pack. It was, like, revenge.
Absolutely, yeah. They set it up, and it's, like, they're sort of foreshadowing the revenge of the, you know, this one dog, and it's, like, that's the moment in the film where you just have to sort of wash your hands and go, okay, this is about the dog.
And actually, there's another moment too. Like this is why you needed a CGI dog, I suppose. Yes, moments like these. But like, there's a moment where he sees the paw of the wolf, and I think he has an existential crisis.
He does. I think you're right. I mean, you can't have actual dogs and have them have these sort of emotional character moments where the dogs in this film obviously do.
Because he sees the paw print of the wolf and then he looks at his own paw. He's just like me. Well, that was more emotion than I expected from Buck. But I think you're right. It's very playful. And it has its moment of drama. Dan Stevens goes, I think it's Dan Stevens.
It is. He goes full Snidely Whiplash in this movie. He's really sort of chewing the scenery at every turn as the bad guy. But yeah,
he's really upset about losing his sled dogs.
Yeah, he goes full Dudley Do Right into it, and it's kind of why the movie works, because he's not playing a real villain. He's a real man playing a cartoon villain next to a cartoon dog.
Yeah, it feels far more Disney, if you will, than even, I know you haven't seen Togo, but than even Togo, because Togo feels more like almost, well, I mean, there's quite a dramatic story, but it feels closer on the scope of, you know, Wonderful World of Disney, like nature stories from the 80s, okay. Right? This one doesn't feel as much like a nature story, even though the wild is clearly like sort of a character in the film.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I really thought that it was a fun film. It was cartoonish, but not cartoony.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those films where you're going to have fun with it in the moment, but 20 minutes after it, you're going to kind of be hard-pressed to sort of really have any sort of strong feelings one way or the other about it. It's enjoyable, but it's not one of those ones that's really going to sort of stick with you either.
No, it doesn't have the impact in that sense. But again, like I really mean what I say when I say that about Harrison Ford, because so often when you see him in a film, it looks like, I mean, he does a great job, but it doesn't look like he's having fun.
He's perpetually miserable, yeah.
Yeah. But even in this one, he's perpetually miserable, but he seems like joyful in his misery. It's very interesting.
Because he's got Buck!
That's true. And his voice is so perfect for, like, that craggly, like, narrator voice I found.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be the same if it was, say, Morgan Freeman or something like that. But
no, it wouldn't have worked. For this kind of story, you needed that Harrison Ford-type voice. It works well with the story, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, I had fun with it. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected I would, personally. Just a second here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Having said that, there's so much following that we see the film is sort of following Buck's character, but there really seems to be a tie, an emotional tie between him and John as a character. I was wondering what you think the differences are between their calls. Like, they both sort of have different calls.
Well, I mean, for Buck, I mean, it's kind of like to try to find his purpose in life, to sort of, because he gets uprooted from his cushy existence to a painful existence, but then he finds friends in the male sled dog team with the characters played by Cara G and Omar Sy, and that's a great sort of evolution to him sort of learning to sort of build his own confidence and become his own dog. And then he finds Harrison Ford's character, and it really all just kind of comes together because Buck is at the point where he can help him sort of find out what he needs to do, because Harrison's character has a call to the wild, but at the same time it's sort of a call to sort of press the reset button and sort of make peace with what's happened in his past.
Yeah, see, that's what I wondered about the call with Harrison Ford or call with John, because to me, I like, is the call for him almost as a call out of the wild by the end of the film? But I feel like with Harrison, like with John's character, there seems to be a call out of the wild and back, but by the end of the film, Buck is actually sort of the opposite. Like you said, he's sort of a more fully realized, well, person is not the word, but you know what I mean.
No, for sure. And plus, with John, I mean, considering what happens because he dies, it really is sort of it's his cult was about finding peace. It wasn't necessarily about going back. It was just about sort of having peace within himself and just sort of letting go of the turmoil which drove him up north to begin with.
But is it, though? See, that would be my question. Is it really about peace? Because, I mean, he certainly finds peace, but he says he has to go home and dig up the wreckage that he left behind or something to that effect. And now, of course, he dies.
Yeah.
In some ways, I thought that, like, his death, and he is at peace when he dies, but his peace is almost like a willingness to try and fix it. Like, it was an interesting mix.
It was a need to, yeah, it was to have the courage to try, yeah, as opposed to actually, having the courage to try was enough, and not as opposed to actually getting to do it.
Yeah, I could see that. And Buck's character, I mean, when he starts off, you know, they talk about him being spoiled, and by the end he's creating a new breed of super wolves.
But I mean, the first sort of half of the movie really does that well, as we see him getting dragged around the palatial mansion to ultimately getting kidnapped, and then sort of getting stronger as he moves along as this sled dog and getting more confidence in himself. I mean, I love the scene with the avalanche.
Yeah.
Just because it really sort of gets this whole emotion of, okay, he's his own dog now. He can do this. He can survive in the wild. He's answering the call, and it makes sense to him now.
But, you know, yeah, so, I mean, you mentioned that, but the dog sled, I was wondering about what you thought of the film sort of had to say about the idea of the pack versus the individual, because he's sort of becoming his own self.
Yeah.
But not?
Well, I think it's having the courage to sort of know yourself before you sort of join a pack or create a family, that kind of thing. I mean, you can look at it in sort of many levels. I mean, you can look at it in sort of on one level, it's a story of a young man heading out into the world and sort of learning his place before he starts a family and all that, and not trying to do that stuff too early versus something like, you know, I mean, it's the debate of the individual versus sort of the pack. They both kind of have value, but I mean, I can understand how the pack is stronger when it's filled with individuals who sort of have a better understanding of oneself versus ones who don't, if that makes any sense. I feel like I'm rambling right now, but yeah.
No, that's a good point. But it is funny, you know, with this, his pack of other dogs, none of them really have that.
No, it's true.
They're all just looking to be led, whether it's him or, you know, Demon Dog. I forget what his name is. But it's funny because he almost doesn't fit in the pack in any way at the beginning. But you're right, when he sort of comes into his own, but then he ends up quickly leading, which is so wild. Like, there's a really interesting balance here. And even Harrison Ford technically is in a pack in his family, and he runs from it.
Yeah.
To get alone into the wilderness to try and deal with loss. And, I mean, that's a serious loss. His son dies, I think.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But that sort of shatters what they had. But, it's interesting in a case with, like, Buck, for example. He's sort of coming into more fully of his own, but nobody else in that dog sled team has done the same thing. They all are literally just sort of turning their head whenever they're told to.
True, but also, I mean, on one end, obviously, it's Hollywood.
Right.
But at the same time, there is almost a little bit of a Littlest Hobo vibe to it all, where Buck is sort of going and helping where needed.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Like once the mail drivers have to let him go, it's like, no, Buck, you're on your own now. It's your team. You've got to take care of them. You've got to take care of people now. Like, he's taking on the mantle of the one taking care of people. Circumstances led to him not being able to take care of his pack, obviously, in the movie with Dan Stevens, aka Snidely Whiplash, who I will be calling him that for the rest of his life now. But once he loses that pack, he sort of adopts Harrison as his new pack.
And almost ends up leading Harrison.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think Ford actually...
Because Buck was conflicted. He didn't want to leave the wild, but he knew he had to help Harrison Ford.
Well, see, that was interesting, too. He sort of asks for permission, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Which is interesting in this relationship, because he's helping in some ways save Ford, but at the same time, like, he also recognizes this relationship they have, and he does go to him in this sort of "what do you think" moment. And again, like, you really feel like you know what's going on. I think it's the eyes.
They were very expressive, yeah.
But it's interesting, like, Ford actually says at one point, "this journey seems to be leading Buck to his destiny. Where is it leading me?" And I thought, that's an interesting comment, because, like, first of all, most people don't say that about their dog. my dog is more socio-spiritually formed than I am at this point. But there is this recognition that Buck's journey is to move on. But again, to a new pack. Like, on the one hand, with the black dog, this is a totally vague reference. I don't even know if you'll get this reference, but every time I saw that wolf, the one that perches, all I could think of is the movie Black Dog, which it has, like, Meatloaf and I think Swayze.
It's his spirit animal. Yeah, his
spirit animal.
It is a very obscure reference, but yeah.
Every time I saw that, for some reason, that was what I thought of. But I mean, so you've got this. I thought that was interesting, because his spirit animal is, like, alone,
which I think where it ties into sort of the whole Littlest Hobo vibe. It's about him helping others. That's his new sort of mantra in life. Be it Harrison or be this new family of super dogs that he's building. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's even that, though, like, by the end, he sort of found a home, and he may be leading. He tames the bear. I was like, dang, you are serious now when you can tame a bear. He's leading the pack there, but I guess he's helping them. It's interesting you talk about helping, because I felt like there, it's almost like he's seemed much more relaxed than any other role that he's in.
But again, it's also him finding his purpose where he's meant to be.
Right.
With other dogs.
Right, right. Purpose, I think, is a pretty key issue. You know, we talk
about,
and for Buck, I think, you know, we talk about him finding a home. And I think you're right. I think there's sort of an emotional journey where he sort of realizes who he is that gets him there,
for sure.
But that's why I thought it was so interesting to sort of juxtapose him with Ford's journey, because Ford, at the end of the film, you know, he may die and he may have found something else, but I feel like his purpose in that moment, which actually makes his death all the more tragic, but it almost like his purpose is to go home and fix what was broken there because he owns what he did. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know even if it's a question of owns, but I think it just goes back to sort of having the courage to not run away from that situation, which is what he did. I mean, he sort of comes to that realization of, I can't do that. I got to go home. I got to sort of be in it so we can move past it.
And with Buck, I mean, I don't think the transition from any of his areas has anything to do with him running away.
No, not at all. Buck really has no say in where he's ending up. He's just going. Which I think is sort of goes back to sort of that original purpose of not just him as a dog, but really any dog. They just want to go and they want to explore and they want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was interesting too, you know, going back to the idea of purpose, even the mail carrier in this has a shocking sense of purpose. Like, this is the most dedicated mail service worker I think I've ever seen on screen. And it's not just about, like, I have to do this. He has, like, a philosophy around it. Yeah, he says, we don't carry mail. We carry lives. We carry hope. We carry love. I'm like, you've really put a lot of thought into the into dropping off those letters.
Well, and plus, I think it just plays to the time period as well, because that's how people stayed in touch. And so, I mean, and for him to sort of be on this grueling trek back and forth with these sled dogs and always being late until he finds Buck, of course, I can understand having that sort of drive in order to get you through what on the exterior looks like a hellish job.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The scene with the frozen ice was well executed, I thought.
It was, yeah.
Again, it's a good thing you have a CGI dog because
obviously, yeah. But I mean, again, it introduced him as sort of finding his courage and being sort of the action hero of the movie. Because I mean, in reality, every actor in the movie is basically background for the dogs.
And again, because of the focus of the film is really told, I would say it's from Buck's perspective, but the narrator is John, which is interesting. So maybe it's John's perspective of Buck, but it's really about his journey along the way and all of those sorts of things that he has to overcome to sort of become a more fully realized. Again, I keep trying to say person, but I know that's not what the word is. But it does make you want to come home and hug your dog. That's
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
What did you think of that idea of home? How do you think that played out in the film? And we've sort of talked around it a little bit, but what do you think it means to find your home?
I mean, I think it comes down to comfort. It comes down to purpose. It comes down to just finding that spot where you're perfectly at ease. I mean, it goes to the old saying, home is where you hang your hat.
Right.
If you're at ease in any given spot, and it feels like that place of comfort and that place of safety and that place where you want to be, then that's your home.
You know, it's funny because he starts off with a home. Buck starts off with a home, but I don't think he realized what he was missing out on along the way. He almost had to have that ripped from him.
And he didn't understand the value of home because he was bounding around the house and causing havoc. Yeah. And they would always just put him on the porch. So it was never a question of him. He never really got the opportunity to embrace the idea of home.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, because he's sort of a wrecking ball when he's in the house.
Get another good reason why it was a CGI dog.
Yeah. There were moments where I hearkened back to the days of, like, Roger Rabbit. And I'm not saying the animation was bad, but I know when they made it, like, you sort of saw they would lift a pipe and water would burst and stuff. And I thought, she has to catch the vase before it falls off the table and stuff like that. I thought, I wonder what that was like.
I do think they had, like, an actor in a suit bounding around and doing things, but they just had to, like, sort of mat in the digital part, you know?
Oh, well, thank the Lord then that he didn't actually, like, start to talk. See, Dave, there's a missed opportunity. This could have been about Rocket Raccoon. And
we were all waiting for that Lion King moment as we're watching this movie. It's like, oh, please don't talk. Please don't talk.
Everything the mountain touches is part of it. by the time that he has found his family and started his a new pack, and he really does start something new there.
Yes.
You know, not just the puppies. I mean, these wolves don't know what to make of him, and they respect his character so much that he's brought in. And he does so by saving the pack leader at one point in the film. So there's a character quality about him. But, you know, he starts something new with people he meets on the way, and he doesn't get stuck. It's actually kind of a journey that he needs that he doesn't realize that he needs.
But,
But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, home is, like, certainly in the film, home is one of those places where once he knows who he is, he feels like he can contribute in a different way, and he sort of has a purpose and freedom again.
And it extrapolates out for, you know, all the human viewers watching, and they can relate to that sort of thing as well, so.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Ford actually says at one point, where is it here? How far has he traveled to find his home? How far have I traveled from mine? And there is that there's that recognition of, again, that call of, this isn't where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. These days, especially for movie going and whatnot, there is sort of a call or a crux that, oh, it's got to be serious or this, that, and the other, and it's got to have this kind of message or that kind of message. This really is a kind of movie that, A, it's got a positive message. B, it's something you can enjoy in the moment. It's not... It doesn't have to be sort of quote-unquote sort of meaningful or serious. It can be light, it can be entertaining, and still say something meaningful as you walk out the door.
I think you're right. Like I said, like I was saying before, this to me feels like a classic Disney film in the best of ways.
Yes.
You know, this is one of those films that as they tell it, you come out of it and you feel like, well, you know, it's not like you haven't had junk food, but like you said, it's not one you're going to be talking about in a year from now. But it's entertaining. It really is a family adventure along the way. Which
and it makes you want to hug your dog.
It makes you want to hug your dog. And anything that makes you want to hug your dog in a positive way is a good thing. Side note, the first night we got our dog, I went over to a friend's house. Our dog was 6 months old. They said, let's pop in a movie. And I said, oh, great. Okay, what do you want to watch? They're like, well, this just came out on video. And we watched Marley and Me. That was not as healthy a hug of my dog. I'm like, you're going to die someday. What's I don't really feel bad if I spoiled Marley and Me for somebody, because A, all dog movies end up with the dog dying pretty well, and B, it was 12 years ago, so I think we can move on.
You're safe. You're very safe. I think I'm safe.
Well, Dave, this has been a lot of fun. Let's screen it or skip it. The Call of the Wild, screen it or skip it.
It is a screen it, but I would definitely go in with low expectations, and you'll come out sort of pleasantly surprised and happy. Don't pump it up too much than what it already is.
Right. Yeah, it's a screen it for me, and I think, again, I went in with low expectations, but I also don't want to make it sound like go in expecting not to enjoy it, because I'm not saying that. I thought it was a great family film. That's what I thought.
Agreed.
And if you want to bring your kids, this is actually a good... I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I thought, you know what, my 5-year-old could probably enjoy this because it's not even that intense, but it's enjoyable along the way.
Exactly.
And it's a definite... It's a screen it for me. I thought this was... It was a welcome surprise from one that I didn't really expect much from, and I really enjoyed it. So
for sure, if you want something a little sort of more balanced from sort of the off the wall zaniness of a Sonic the Hedgehog to take your kids to, this is the movie.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Parasite, maybe I should temper your expectations. But you're right. Sonic the Hedgehog is the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, oh, you gotta go faster. No, this is just a very sweet and fun and lovely, charming family film. So
Both are enjoyable, but two very different films.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Fair point. Dave, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
You're welcome anytime. It's been great. For you at home, a reminder, you can find us anywhere where podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud. You can go to the you can find us on your Alexa device via Stitcher. If you go to the podcast page at screenfish.net, you can download Fishing for More, which are small group questions that you can get the conversation started with people that you see the film with, if you would like to do that. We will be back next week. Actually, I get a vacation. This is nice. I get 2 weeks off, but the podcast will be back. Ironically, I think to talk about Parasite. Julie's taking the next 2 weeks. I expect that conversation will be a little different than this, but, you know, I'm not on it, so I don't know. Family-friendly fun. That's how I describe Parasite. But
it isn't my house, but, you know, that's another story that's entirely. True.
Well, my five-year-old loved it. And no, he can't read, but, man, the blood splatters he was into. yeah, thanks again, Dave. Again, love having you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Anytime. And for you at home, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.